Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. And as usual, in the studio with me today is Dr. Les Olawat, Chancellor of Northland Baptist Bible College. And I have the privilege of working alongside him and a team of administrators here at the college as well. And I also have the honor of pastoring the Brookside Baptist Church. We're excited to be together today, Doc, because I know that you have an interesting and very practical discussion. I've heard you do this in certain contexts, and I'm just so excited that you're going to be addressing something as we start out today. And so maybe to kind of set it up, we've all been called in different relationships to work together, marriage, family, church, ministry, job. How do we accomplish that? How do we labor for the Lord?
1 Corinthians chapter 3 makes the statement, we are laborers together with him. And that's one word, sum ergoi, and it is dealing with the fact that we are workers, but we are workers together. And Paul had just finished dealing with the Corinthians regarding carnality in the early part of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And he said, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, and even as unto babes. And the first reference there, he said, I spoke to you as unto carnal. That is, you were fleshy. You were new.
Yeah.
You were
yeah.
new converts. And he said, you were almost in a situation at that point. You couldn't help it because you had just come. You were brand new babies. Then he said, I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet are ye now able. He said, I didn't give you a lot of meat. I've been giving you milk. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal, and walk as men?
Wow.
Now he goes from fleshy to fleshly.
Yes.
He goes from the one reference with the certain ending in the Greek, then he goes, you are now fleshly. In other words, you are now characterized
by this.
By this.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, they thought they were spiritual.
Oh, yeah. They
at
thought
the beginning. Remember, I am of Paul, I am of Demas, or I'm Apollos, I'm of... Some of you were saying, I'm of Jesus, I'm of Christ. Very spiritual-sounding group here, but you're exactly right. They had become revealed by any number of things in the book here.
They were characterized by... They were fleshly.
Yes.
That became their characteristic. But to me, it was interesting. What was that carnality? The carnality was divisions among them.
Huh.
People following.
Yes.
We normally would consider carnality in the categories that we would think of in the external.
Like immorality.
Immorality, yes. Or lack of standards, etc. But in this context, he was talking definitely about the divisions. I am of Paul, I am of Apollos,
yes.
I am of Cephas. Then he goes down into this, that we're all one plants, one waters.
Yes.
God gives all of the increase. Then four, it's a continuous thought here, for we are laborers together with God, and ye are God's husband, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. Interesting there, too.
Yes.
He didn't say take heed what he builds, but how.
Now, that is interesting.
That is the...
Because I hadn't picked that up.
The fact that there is such a focus today on what we are building, when God is saying, let her take heed how you build. And then he goes into this idea that we are going to be tested by fire. And I believe motive in ministry... Yeah. is the very thing that's going to be tested by this.
That totally changes the passage for me.
Yes, because it's dealing with, we are so conscious of what.
Yes.
And God is very clearly focusing on the how. And then he goes into, some will be works that will stand, gold, yeah. silver, precious stone, some will be works that will be burned. But I go back to verse 9, where labors together. And so in presenting this to our staff, in one of our staff times, one time, I said, we are laborers. That's our function. That's the cause to which we've committed. We have formed a union. You can look at a church membership that we are in union
yes.
in this church membership.
Right.
In ministry, we are in union to get a job done. Those of you in the corporate world, you have a function. You are in union to get a job done. I used to take people all the time to Ford plant in Detroit when Ford used to give tours, go to the Dearborn office there and get on the tour buses.
That's a fascinating plant.
It was a fascinating plant. I don't think they do that anymore. But this idea was in my head when I saw this, the fact that they were functioning together. Fascinating. You know, I used to think that cars, they would be painted later. Well, all the colors come to line already painted.
Is that right?
The color of that car. I thought that they would be...
So you actually got into the assembly line process.
Right on the line. I mean, you could have touched the workers at that time in those tours.
So they were laboring together in this union that you're talking about.
And so that's a corporation. And so in function, we all have a reason why we're there. Mm-hmm. Okay, if I were to ask a person at the job site, why are you here? Well, I have a family. I have to put food on the table. I must have these things. Okay, what's your role? I put front tires on.
Got it.
I am a lineman.
Yes.
And my particular responsibility is putting left front tires on this vehicle.
So we might say it this way. The reason is why we're there.
Yes.
The role that you're talking about is where we serve.
In our title, yes.
And the responsibility is what we do daily.
What we do. What do we do? Now, that's corporation. Those of you who work in corporation, you have a reason why you are there. You have a role. If it's authority, then you have responsibilities. If I'm a janitor, I have a reason to be there. I have a role. And I have responsibilities that within that role. So we could take our Christian life, and we have a reason. We could all give testimonies of why we are where we are, how God saved us, how God led us, how God placed us. And I could define my role, and then in that role, define my responsibilities.
But what happens when my responsibility becomes humdrum, or I'm not happy with my responsibility?
That should be a whole nother broadcast, Dr. Horn, because we create a dream world in our mind. And I do believe at some time we do need to do an entire broadcast on the dream world, because if reality brings responsibility.
Right.
And if there's something in reality and responsibility I detest, my mind develops a resentment for reality, and it creates a dream world. And the scripture is replete with God called, God placed people who are in this circumstance.
Yeah.
And then not only do I resent reality, I run from responsibility and I become irresponsible. Mm-hmm. And then the emotional consequences. If you were to study Luke chapter 9, there are seven negative spirits that communicate from the disciples when they were in this state of irresponsibility. Yeah. Because they resented reality. Because Christ now spoke of dying, they ran from responsibility. In fact, they said, send the multitude away. We are tired and hungry.
We want our time.
I call it the school teacher's life verse. Send the multitudes away. We're tired and hungry.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's a great thought. And we do need to do a broadcast, because there are so many people who serve in local churches or in ministries like ours. They get tired. They, like you say, they abandon the task prematurely, or they abandon the task. They grow critical of the things that God has given. It is a good pattern to observe. But we'll do another broadcast on it.
But now, function cannot be where we draw the line, because then we're just corporations.
Right.
We are laborers together. That goes from function to fellowship. It goes from union to unity. And there is a difference between union and unity.
How would you see that difference?
Well, if you took a dog and a cat, tied their tails together, and hung them over a clothesline, you have formed a union, but
it does not
presuppose unity. When a husband and wife stand at the marriage altar, you have formed a legal union.
Do not try this at home.
But this does not form a legal unity.
Right.
Because unity is that which comes out of the inner man and the spirit that is there. And so we are ordered to fellowship. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, continued steadfastly in fellowship.
You made an interesting comment about that word steadfastly.
Yeah, it was not just a casual approach. They continued steadfastly, first in the word and in fellowship. Hmm. It's something that has to be worked at. It's not just something that happens. And the steadfastness implies the fact that it is something that we have to be constantly monitoring, constantly keeping a hand on.
Yeah, we've got to work at it. In other words, it's not just something that comes because we happen to be in the same church or we happen to be in the same ministry.
It's not the norm for a selfish person.
Okay.
Fellowship is not the norm for a selfish person because it demands communication.
Right.
Give and take relationship. Then there are obstacles to fellowship. And those obstacles to fellowship are sins.
Okay.
And the order can also be followed up in 1 John 4:7 and following, where we are ordered to love. In fact, when I remember when Dr. Binney was here, we were talking about love.
Yes.
And there is the imperative to love. And it is spiritual, but it's also volitional.
Yes.
That has to be done. And 1 John, really, to me, in chapter 4 makes that clear. But the obstacles are sins. And I believe when we look in the book of Galatians chapter 5, we see the listing of the sins that hinder fellowship.
Now, this is that passage that would also have, if I'm not mistaken, the fruit of the Spirit in it.
Yes.
Right in that area.
It has
okay.
the fruits of the Spirit in that. And I want to get started in this broadcast on the obstacles. And we'll get up to two.
Okay.
But then the next broadcast, I really want to
park on
the one that I really believe is what is very damaging to our ministries today, to our churches and Christian organizations. Galatians chapter 5, we first see rank sins. We said verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. These are I call them rank sins, where they really are the things that are destructive to the flesh.
The rotten sins,
the sin against the body. Christ says, Paul in writing the Corinthians, that they who sin in the flesh are sinning against their own bodies, those who violate the fact of purity. But that's not causing the majority of the problems in our churches today. Then the next category is religious sins. There's idolatry and witchcraft is anything that displaces God in my heart. Witchcraft is the sin of rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
That generally is not the big thing that we deal with in the power plug being pulled in our ministries. There are problems with these rank sins. But what I have discovered, when someone gets involved in a rank sin within a congregation of adultery, fornication, etc., and normally is a bonding of that body because church discipline has to be brought.
Yes.
Galatians is practiced where there is a healing, a setting of the bone. It's a process that
yes.
everybody says, boy, but by God's grace, there go I.
Right.
It's humbling. It's unifying. It's heartbreaking. But yet at the same time, it is not destroying the church.
Right. It is actually preserving the church.
Yeah. It's then the idolatry and witchcraft are more subtle because we can be sitting in the church pew with idols in our heart.
Doc, thank you for taking time to share with us. We are offering to our listeners again this week the discipleship devotional journal that you wrote some years ago entitled Manna. And for a donation of $10, it goes to help to defray the expenses of this program.